Hello everyone and welcome to day 13 of the South Australian Affiliate Cricket Podcast of the World 2020 Qualifiers. We are on the last day for teams to make their way to India, and once again, two teams who've often been the bridesmaid have ended up as so in PNG and Namibia. But there was a wonderful Cinderella story as well. Andrew is joining me as always. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Russ. Hi, everyone.
Andrew, let's start with the first match, which is PNG versus Afghanistan. And PNG started really poorly, and they have a number of times in this tournament. Legacy Argos had just a terrible tournament all round, and they did need him to fire at some point, and that's probably cost them.
Yeah, I think this game was pretty much lost when Jack Vare decided to bat first after winning the toss. As we discussed in the last episode, you're batting first in the morning games hasn't been particularly successful throughout this tournament, and it proved to be a case again today. They scored only 20 runs in the power play, and when you get a start like that in a 2020, you're never really gonna get a big score. Charles Amini and Norman Vanwyr sort of managed to take about 60 odd off the last five overs, but you know, once your Ura and Siaka had fallen really early on, they were never going to make a big score. And I think that decision to bat first, I think that's what lost the game for Papua New Guinea.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad recovery, all things considered. I mean, the first few hours, as you said, there was not many runs scored, but they were beating the bat just about every couple of balls as well. In their defence of that total, they didn't really help themselves either. There was a couple of drops and a no ball. One was for placing the field incorrectly. They probably had a couple of chances to maybe induce a bit of panic in the Afghan lineup, but in the end, it was a fairly easy chase.
Yeah, that you would think it was the Papua New Guinea side who panics rather than the Afghanistan team. You know, also they lost Mohammad Shahzad, first ball of the reply, but I think Noros Mangal played a superb innings. He just batted really well. It was the perfect run chasing innings. You know, just what you need from chasing that sort of target. You know, he found the gaps. He punished the bad balls. He got the quick singles, and you know, rotated the strike when he needed to. And you know, let the other guys, you know, sort of bat around him. And you know, he just batted really well. And you know, I think unlike on Tuesday when he won the man of the match in a losing cause, today he was definitely the deserved man of the match candidate. And yeah, just a superb innings with that 65 from 56 balls.
So Afghanistan are through. PNG, they've had so many opportunities in this tournament and really in the World Cup qualifiers in the previous year, and both times towards the end of the tournament they've really tired and failed, and they need to consider what's happening there, because they're missing out on when they really do look like they should be capable of qualifying.
Papua New Guinea started really well in the tournament, and then you know, they've lost three games in a row now to end it. And you know, maybe it's just a stamina thing. They're not used to playing for length of duration. You know, this tournament's lasted nearly 3 weeks now, and then again, they hadn't played since Sunday, so maybe there's a little bit of rust there. I think the length of the tournament has just caught up to them.
In the other match, Amar was playing in Namibia, and Amar were mess in the field. I don't know whether it was nerves, but they had four drop catches. They missed a run out. It was laughably bad fielding. And yet, at the end of the innings, Namibia was basically scoring either sixes or singles, and it became very similar to the Netherlands game that Amman won earlier, in that Munis Ansari and Amir really took advantage, got a lot of wickets, and kept that total to something that was looking unmanageable at one point.
Yeah, Stephen Bard had a good innings at the odd, and then Raymond Vanshoor batted reasonably well as well, but you know, there's not really anything else to write home about there. You know, they needed someone else just to score runs towards the end. But 148 for 9 should still have been a defendable target on that pitch.
Yeah, there's been a pretty consistent pattern of success for Amman chasers, in that Jishan Maksud has come out and hit, and sometimes he succeeded and sometimes not, and today he did pretty well early on. And then Jatinder Singh has anchored it while others have attacked around him, and that happened again today. Jatinder Singh was run out fairly late, but Jishan Ahmed was hitting crucial boundaries at the right time, and he took them home.
Yeah, it was a very very good chase from Amanda. He sort of paced it pretty well. They started relatively slowly and then picked up the pace in the second half of the innings, and a well-deserved winners. And you saw what it meant to them at the end. So the scenes of unbridled joy, and And your opposing that was the sort of your depths of despair of the Namibian players who were in tears, and you know, I think it just shows your one cricket you truly means something. That's what it means to the players.
Yeah, Namibia have so often almost made it to tournaments, and they were probably the unlucky third in when there was only 2+ spots available, and they've just missed out in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we could easily make a remark about them, you know, sharing something in common with their neighbours in South Africa.
It must be very difficult for them because they've had a very good team for a long period now, and they haven't actually managed to make a major tournament.
Yeah, they're probably a better side now than when they made the 2003 World Cup. So it's, you know, it's just, you know, it's really, it's a real shame to see them, you know, constantly miss out on the big tournaments. You know, they've had some sort of rotten luck from ICC decisions in the past. You know, the 2010 qualifier where USA were chosen as a wild card for the 8th place instead of Namibia, who were ranked 8th at that time. And, you know, they were runners up in the Intercontinental Cup 1 year, and then you're kicked out to make way for a Zimbabwe 11 the next year. And you know, they've been the victim of some pretty poor ICC decisions, and you know, maybe that's why they've had this sort of heartbreak in the various tournaments they've played since then. And you know, they could have had more experience at playing in pressured situations, but it just seems to have been taken away from them. So maybe that's what's happened.
And for Oman, this is, remember, a team that we predicted wouldn't actually win a match, and they've gone all the way to the World 2020.
Yeah, and even after, I was at their first game where they played against Kenya, and it was a narrow defeat, but they were never in the game, and they played terribly in that game. And to come back from there and, you know, qualify all the way to the World 2020, it's a remarkable story. The fielding still leaves a lot to be desired, it has to be said, and we saw some of that in this match. But, you know, it's an amazing story, and you know, we saw what it meant to the players.
Yeah, look, hopefully in the next 6 months they can discipline themselves, improve their fielding, get ball practice, and hone their bowling talents. There's generally acknowledged that they haven't had a lot of coaching and training, and that's something that can be improved on. And because there's definitely some talent there, we saw, and then there's definitely some smart batting that they've done a number of very good chases. So potentially, if they can sort out a few things, they could play a lot better than they have in this tournament in the World 2020, and maybe surprise again.
Yeah, you know, like, as you say, there's some natural talent there, and you know, I think some credit has to go to Derek Pringle, who I think has sort of helped bring on some of that talent and get them to play according to the conditions and the match situation. You know, going from what his colleagues in the cricket media are saying, it's like he's scoring the runs and taking the wickets himself. But yeah, he's done, I think, a great job with this team, and you know, hopefully they can keep him in the side, keep him, you know, on the staff until the World Cup next year.
And with that, there are 2 semi-finals on Saturday, as well as a 5th-6th playoff, which is. There's been some rumours about Afghanistan being investigated for their previous game, and if you're ever going to rig a game, that would potentially be the one. It's a bit of a pointless match.
It will be Oman's first T20 international, so you know they'll, I think, be wanting to win that. But yeah, if Afghanistan are going to do anything dodgy, that's the game to do it in.
And the semis, any predictions?
I think you'd back Ireland and Scotland to win. You know, they're playing in familiar conditions, so you'd make them just favourites. Netherlands, you know, they've done it against Ireland before, so you know, who knows, they might do it again. And Hong Kong, you know, they've either played terribly or really well in this tournament, so, but you know, they've had 2 games in a row now where they've played really well, so maybe it's time for a terrible match this time.
All right, I'll talk to you then. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Chris.